Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Let me get it. Oh, there you are. All right. Hi. You can wave. Hi, Pepper. Well, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Dan. My wife, Betty, and I raised our children here and pastored with Pastor Mark for 20 years before God called us off to work with the homeless at Skid Row. And we moved into our offices on Skid Row during the week, came home on the weekends, and boy, did we get an education. Anyway, my wife is here today, so welcome, Betty. And I will tell you more about the ministry we started after we left the mission. More on that later, but first, I'd like to talk to you about a very important topic. And that is, have you thought about your future? But before we get into that, let's watch this video.
Money's important. Saving for the future is important.
Whoa! That's a wake-up call for you.
Have you thought about the future? Have you thought about it at all?
Buy low,
sell high.
What does that mean?
You should meet my money guy. I've got a better money guy.
My money guy got me into Facebook early.
Futures are up 3%. It appears the bulls are running.
This is an opportunity.
Have you thought about the future? You know what you want?
Interest rates, they're rising.
You should be in commodities.
Annuities.
Bitcoin.
Bonds.
High risk, high reward.
What about your retirement?
The time is now.
The time is right now.
Have you thought about it?
Wake up!
So investing can be complicated, as you see for this young man. But if you are looking to invest in your future retirement for the long term, then maybe you call a company like that and get some input. But if you're interested in investing your life for the really long term, maybe we should look to the Bible and see what Jesus might have said about it. What do you say? Well, we're going to do it anyway, so you might as well buy in. You know what I'm saying? All right, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, and I want to show you simple principles for sound investments because I want us to think about our future right now this morning. Simple principles for sound investments. It can get complicated, so let's simplify it, all right? For the long term. Here we go. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shares three parables, short stories. They're fictional stories, but they're designed to teach one particular principle. We're going to take one principle from each of these parables and put it together to show you these three simple principles that'll help with sound investing for the long term. I'm talking about forever. I'm talking about afterlife stuff. I'm talking about how are you going to use your life today for the rest of your life. So let's get after it. These three parables are all about the future. And the first one is called the parable of the 10 virgins. So in this story, I'm just going to summarize because it's too much to read. But what happened is the bridegroom left and he went on a journey and they were going to have the big party when he gets back and the wedding feast. But he got delayed. And there were 10 ladies who were waiting for the big party. Well, because it got delayed, they kind of slumbered and fell asleep and kind of lost track of what was going on and what they were looking forward to, and they dozed off. And then all of a sudden they heard this, "The bridegroom's here, bridegroom's here." Oh, they woke up all of a sudden, the 10 of them are like, "Okay, it's time." And five of them were in one category and five were in another category. Five of them woke up and realized, oh my gosh, we didn't properly prepare and we don't have oil in our lamps. We can't go in. And so they said, hey, you other five who prepared, give us some stuff. They go, it's too late. We got to get in. So they went in and sad four words. Listen to this. And while they were going to buy their oil, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast and the door was shut on the others. Opportunity was gone. Time had disappeared. There was no time left. You see, we're all living on borrowed time. We don't know how long we have. We don't know when God will return to judge the world. We don't know how long we will survive. And so the first principle has to do with verse 13. Look what it says in verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. In other words, you got to be ready today. So here's how I put it. If you want to put it in your notes, I put it this way. Invest today with eternity in mind. Invest today with eternity in mind. See, this is really answering the question of when should you start investing? Well, if you haven't already done so, the best day to do it is today. You say, yeah, but the interest rates are high. But we're not talking about that. We're talking investing your life. Invest your life and start today, and invest in things that will last past this earthly life and things that are bigger than you. Invest today with eternity in mind. Have an eternal mindedness. Have a kingdom-focused approach to every single day, every single interaction with people. The second parable has to do with these things called talents. It's really money. And there were three investors in this story. And here's how it goes. The owner said, look, I'm going to hand off my resources to you three managers, employees. So you guys are going to take my resources. I have to go on a trip. It's a long trip. And when I return, there'll be an accounting, and you'll get rewarded according to how well you did with investing my money. Well, he left, and he was gone for a while. And then one day he returned. And he called them all back in, because there is going to be a day of accounting for all of God's managers. And he said, okay, how did you do with my resources? And the first guy came back, and he had been given five talents, and he had doubled his to 10. And the owner, who owned all of these resources, said to him, oh, I'm very pleased. You know what? You've been faithful with a little. I'm now going to make you responsible for a lot in my kingdom. Enter into my kingdom with joy. Then the second one came in, and he said, okay, how'd it go? He goes, well, you know, I doubled it. And he goes, fantastic. And he said the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. Now I'm going to make you responsible for a lot in my kingdom. Enter into your joy. But then there was a third one, and he came in, and he had been given one talent. And he said, okay, how did it go? And he said, well, I knew that you were kind of a demanding boss, and I knew that there's a lot of risk with investing, and so I decided, because I was a little afraid of losing it, that I just buried it, and I dug it up, and here it is, and I'm giving it back to you. So here's what you gave me. And he was not pleased. He said, you could at least put it in the bank, got some interest. If you knew how concerned I was about growth, why didn't you do something with it? Here's the moral of the story, found in verse 21. Well done, good and faithful manager. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. And if you look back at the very first verse, verse 14, it says this, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with his property. So here's what we realize. Everything that these managers had to work with was not theirs. It was given to them by the boss. Here's the point. As servants of God, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, none of our resources are ours. They've all been given to us. Even our very lives. Does anybody manufacture air in the building? No. Does anybody, you know, make sure your lungs are working? No. We don't know when we're going to leave this planet. We don't know when the Lord will return. But God is supplying even our health. God is supplying our time. We all live on borrowed time. We don't know how much we have. And all of our talent, that was given by God. We can develop it, but he gave it in the first place, and the ability and the resources to develop those. And then all of the profit that we gain from our talent and our time that he gave us, well, then that's all owed to him too. Everything we have in the bank, everything in our portfolio. It's easy to say, isn't it? It's all his. We are managers. So here's the second principle. God demands growth, but here's the principle, right? I wrote it down this way. We need to be wise managers of God's resources. We need to be wise managers of God's resources. So if the first principle and story talks about the when of investing, like right now, live every day this way, this one then maybe deals with the why of investing. Why? Because God wants growth so that he can make our lives productive, which brings us joy for this life and in all eternity, and gives us the opportunity to have more opportunities in his kingdom. He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking for wise investors. Be a wise investor of his resources. You see, he just didn't give us resources to take care of us, although he did. He didn't give us just resources to take care of our family, although he did. But the people sitting in this room and probably listening to me are probably in the top 1% of the richest people in the entire world. He's given us more than we really need for a reason. We're supposed to be investing. The third parable is the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it speaks to the time that we all have our day of accounting, where we are all of God's followers, all the people, all the nations actually, will stand before God, and there will be a reckoning of how we did with the resources we were given. And he said, he put them into two categories. As you see, all three of these parables have two categories, the wise and the foolish, right? And he says, there's going to be two categories. He doesn't call them wise and foolish. He calls them sheep and goats. David said, the Lord is my, which makes David a what? Sheep. So we're referred to as sheep. And so the sheep are God's followers who are wise investors of their lives and manage the resources that he gave them well. And then there's the goats. And he said he's going to be moving them around from side to side. Like he said, okay, you over here? Yeah, you should be sitting over here. And you, yeah, you over here? I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. And I'm really sorry about the people sitting on my left don't take this personal. It's just in the text. So he's going to move them around. So all the sheep will be over here and all the goats will be over here. And then he addressed both groups. And he said to the sheep, enter into your joy. Thank you for caring for me. Because you know, you showed your love towards me. And you folks didn't. No. Again, don't take it personal. And they go, well, how so? You see, he's going to go on and he's going to share that there is only one criteria listed in this passage to determine if you're a sheep or a goat in his eyes. See, you might think you're a goat or you might think you're a sheep, but his audience in the story were very surprised. As a matter of fact, the people that Jesus preached this to were probably shocked at what he said next. And maybe you will be too, unless you're familiar with the passage. But there was only one criteria that he lists to determine if you're a sheep or a goat. Now, if it was the people in the audience, I imagine they might have been thinking like we might be thinking, well, it must be something religious. Maybe it was, how often did you go to synagogue? Were you faithful with the Passover? Did you make sacrifices in the temple? Or in our day, it might be, how often did you go to church? Let's see your church attendance records. Oh, let's see how long did you pray every day? Hey, how many times did you read through your entire Bible? Hey, how many doctrines do you know? What's your Bible knowledge? What's your understanding of theology? Were you in a small group? Guess what? It's not the criteria. Now, none of those things are bad. They're all very good. But they're byproducts. And those things can be fooled. The religious people in Jesus' day, he didn't get many kudos. He was the people that he spoke loudest to and the people who took him out. You know what the one criteria was? Crazy. He said to this group, he said, do you know why you're sitting over here? Do you know why I consider you my sheep? They go, we got some ideas, but I think we're all wrong. And he said this, when I was sick, you came to my house. When I got really sick, you came to the doctor's office or the hospital, and you visited me, encouraged me, gave me comfort when I was down. You know, when I was out of work and I was hungry, you showed up with a meal. When I was grieving, you called me, you prayed with me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a cup of water. When I was in prison, you stopped by and you didn't blow me off or write me off. And they said to him, we have a question. Yeah. When did that happen? We never saw you sick or hungry or thirsty or in jail. And he said, when you did it to the least of these, you were doing it to me. I am the least of these. It is the purest sense of religion there is. When you do something for someone who has nothing to offer you in return, that's pure compassion. And Jesus is all about that. And then he went to the other side. And they go, well, wait a second. We never saw you do that. He goes, because you didn't do it. When I was sick, when I was hungry, you didn't do it. Well, when did we see that? And he said, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it for me. So you will not experience what they are going to experience. As a matter of fact, you will have weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, you're going to have sadness. And you're experiencing sadness and frustration. Gnashing of teeth is a Jewish phrase, a Hebrew phrase for frustration or anger, right? That was their experience. They weren't happy about how that played out. And I'll bet some were very surprised. The third principle, invest heavily in the urgent needs of the least of these. Invest heavily in the urgent needs of the least of these. You know, if you had a portfolio financially, your financial advisor would probably tell you to spread it out, right? Diversify. Jesus says the opposite. Nah, heavily weighted on the least of these because they're the ones who need it. And I gave it to you instead of giving it to them because I wanted to see what you do with it. Couldn't he have given it to the least of these directly, just like he gave it to the others? Yes. Why didn't he do that? Well, he has his own reasons, but I think he's trying to build a loving, compassionate community here. And guess what? You're not going to be the least of these all the time. And guess what? Sometimes we're all going to be the least of these. And don't you want somebody showing up? You know, the Bible talks a lot about good works. We talk a lot about good works. Good works is very important. But what the heck are they? We kind of fill in the blank of what a good work is. You ever seen what the Bible definition of a good work was? You know, we were saved by faith to do good works. We're not saved by doing the good works, but people who are saved do these good works. That's what we're made for. That's the point of even being here, to go out and do some good works. Well, what are good works defined in Scripture? Well, lest we just guess, let's read it. If you read in Titus, Paul wrote to Titus all about good works. In chapter 2, verse 7, he said, show yourself as a model of good works. In other words, let it be your pattern of living. And then he said in chapter 2, verse 14, be zealous of good works. Be passionate about doing good works. Let that be the thing you wake up for every day. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, he said, be ready to devote yourself to good works. Be ready. The opportunity's coming. Be ready for it. And then he said in chapter 3, verse 8, be careful to devote yourself to good works. But what are they, Paul? I'm glad you asked. He finished in chapter 3:14 and he says this, let us learn to devote themselves to good works. Here it is. Here's your definition. So as to help causes of urgent need and not be unfruitful. In another version, it says, don't live unproductive lives. We can be very religious and still live unproductive lives if we're not looking out for the urgent needs and supplying them of people who are needy. It's the only criteria he listed to define a sheep. That's true love. People who are different than us. People who vote different than us, people who look different than us, people who think different than us, people who come from different places than us, people who have different experiences than us, people who, that's the test. How do we do with people who are in a situation who feel so different than everybody else? What does that feel like? Invest heavily in the urgent needs of the least of these. So how do you apply the message? I think there's two general ways. One is just every day, individual on individual. There are people you run into in your life every day who are the least of these, at least today. And the more you ask God to bring them to you, the more you're going to see them. The person who you see at the office and you can tell something's in their eyes. They don't look normal. They don't look like they did yesterday. Something's different. What's going on? And to have the courage to take the risk to say, hey, are you okay? And when somebody shares with you about a struggle, do we pray with them right there and then? Are we consistent to pray for them? For the widow who's elderly, we could take our trash cans out and bring them back after they're emptied. You go to a funeral, and 2 months later, we've all moved on, but she hasn't or he hasn't. We could reach out. Because in that moment, they're the least of these when it comes to the loneliness. And then the other thing you can do is you can help organizations that exist for the very purpose of helping organized groups of people to do these good works for the least of these. And that's what we're here to talk to you about today. There's plenty of them in town. You could go help out at family. What's it called? Yes, they're here. International Sanctuary. You could at Christmas time wait and buy all your gifts and buy the jewelry from them and give it to your relatives and help a good cause. Pregnancy Resource Center, you could help out in the office. There's organizations who exist for this purpose. And one of them is Deed in Truth. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So Betty and I spent 7 years working with the homeless. Like I said, 4 of those years living actually at the mission in Skid Row. That was our neighborhood. That was our home. We have since moved on because we saw a new ministry that we felt God was calling us to. What happens once people who are experiencing homelessness, and these people, by the way, did not start at the starting line. They did not have a lot of the benefits you and I maybe have experienced. Not to say you can't get out of that, because I'm going to introduce you to a couple who did. But their backstories will break your heart. And somebody had to be there for them. And the missions come alongside them. The mission we work with this church is Orange County Rescue Mission in Tustin. And Pepper here in the second row, she's living proof that it works. She's a graduate, and now she's the alumni director. Yeah, there you go. We're not proponents of leaving homeless on the street, that they could live anywhere they want, they could do whatever they... No, that is not caring for people. That's not caring for the community. It's not safe. It's not healthy. That's not what we're talking about. We don't take people who are on the street and put them in a home. We want to see people on the street. They're not ready for that yet. It won't work. They'd never be able to hold down a job. They need to get in some kind of an educational and a caring community to get healing and educated and some resources and a community around them, and then go out and find a place. We work with people who are willing to do that. So we have the ability, because we've been in both environments, in the church environment. We know people who at the Rescue Mission who need help, so we can vet them. And so when we have someone who has finished a program, they've saved money, they've found a job, and they got a lease on an apartment, we come in and say, we're going to move you into your first home and help you transition. So you don't spend all your money, or you don't freak out, because it's a very scary time. Because many of these folks have never been able to function properly, ever, even growing up, in dysfunctional environments. So to just turn them loose and say, hope it works, that's rough. That's scary. So we want to come alongside them. That's Deed and Troop does. So we're a bridge. Our logo's a bridge. We build bridges to connect people who really want to change with people who really want to make a difference. And that's our calling these days. And we need your help. You can either volunteer or you can give financially. And isn't that interesting? On that third point, he said, I need clothes, I need water, I needed food. We need some resources to cover that. And we need some relational support. We need visitation. We need people to come alongside. We need people to pray with. We need people to know that God's people love us. You can help volunteer. One of the ways, when we move them into their new house, and by the way, PCC, we try to do 6 a year. We hope to raise enough funds today to do 6 a year and raise enough volunteers up to do 6 move-ins a year. And one thing we really need, ladies who like to decorate, like to clean, because we come into their empty apartment and we turn it into a home where they can build family memories and start a new life with a new start. We want it to be beautiful because we believe beautiful things happen in beautiful places. And we are looking for people who will donate furniture or artwork or tchotchkes, as my wife says, but we don't want junk, okay? We're not gonna put junk in somebody's house. Don't give us the stuff that's all worn out, okay? Because we're picky, because we believe in these people, and we want them to know that what we give you is good. You know why? Because we believe in you. So if you wouldn't give it to Jesus, don't give it to us, okay? Because we move in Jesus twice a month, all right? Because when you move somebody in who's the least of these in that particular time, we're doing it for Jesus. And I'd like to introduce you to two Jesuses, the Jesus family. Come on up here. This is Joseph and Sierra. This family, you just recently moved in. Oh, good to see you. Come on over here.
Okay.
So this is Sierra and Joseph.
Hi.
And PCC, a team from PCC led by Kim Nicholas. Kim, are you here?
I saw her earlier, but
okay. Kim will be outside. She's your contact person. But they applied. They had to go through Pepper. Pepper said yes, gave them a thumbs up. Well, we looked over their application. We said, hey, you guys are good to go. And about a month ago, we moved them in, and they were so excited. They said, we'd like to come and just thank the church that made this possible.
Absolutely. It was a gift, actually. Exactly how he said it too, like that was our fear when we first finally were going to go and move in and stuff like that. We haven't had our own place in 10 years. Both my kids, who are 5 and 7, have grown up in Motel 6s and stuff like that, or basically on the streets. And so having a brand new empty place we waited for about a month until they actually came in. And even in that waiting, there was a lot of God telling me, just be patient. And that's really hard, but when you know God's telling you, like, just be patient, it's for the right reasons. And we left, and our house was empty. We had some blow-up beds and one thing on the wall, and that's it. We came back in our house, I cried my eyes out. It is the most amazing feeling every time I turn my key and open the front door, and it is just, it's still exactly how you guys left it, because I tell my kids, don't move anything, don't touch anything. It is perfect, and it is amazing. And now we have a table to sit at. My girls love doing arts and crafts and stuff like that, memories, and just sitting there together, and everything that we desired is we just keep finding new things too. Like, there's things that I didn't really even take note of or notice when we first did the walkthrough, and now I'll find something or I'll look more into a picture that I see that's hanging up, and it's just like, wow, somebody purposely picked that, or somebody gave that to us to put there for that specific reason, and it's just amazing. It's amazing.
Well, these are the people who did it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. Yes. Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a big deal. The hands and feet of Jesus at work is something we just want to declare for the rest of our lives, too. That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to just leave you in a pretty new house. How can we pray for you?
Joey is recently applying for a different position because we both got stepping stone jobs, is what they called it when we first left the mission. So he's already taken that next step and try to get another job that kind of gets him setting into a career and things like that, and just continuing endurance and faith and our trust in Jesus.
Very good. And how about yourself?
That was mine. Yeah.
Okay.
I expressed that to them too. Like, it was very nerve-wracking because we were homeless for so long and stuck in our ways. We struggled with addiction through grief and sorrow from tragic events that we'll get into later, or we'll explain that later in another situation. But I really struggled for a long time with like really trusting in God and really trusting and listening when he's talking to me. And now I just see it really clear and plainly, like, hey, you'll hear the conviction of God really talking to me and stuff like that. And I just need to learn to really listen to that and to lean into that. And when people reach out to me, to not be scared to reach back out.
Okay.
And just be honest with people. Like, when I'm struggling, I reach out to Pepper, hey, I'm really going through a tough moment. What do I do? And then just being willing to listen to that.
Beautiful.
So that's.
And you know what? You're not going to be the least of these forever. One of these days, you're going to be helping the least of these.
Yes.
Come on right over here, right in the middle. We're going to pray for you. Would you join me in prayer? God, these two beautiful souls were struggling in some pretty traumatic experiences, losses. And they needed help, they needed direction, and you led them to the mission. They were able to be able to breathe and relax and create some new habits and disciplines and got some new education and friends and found you. And now they're learning to trust you more. Joseph needs a career. We don't want to just see them survive, we want to see them thrive. So we pray for this career search, get him on a path where he can utilize the gifts that you've given him to earn a living and much more for his own family, so that they move from the least of these category to helping the least of these as they push it forward. And so thank you for them. We pray too for their children who are in the Sunday school class. Ask you to bless them. And we just pray that you would continue to do this for other families just like them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Aren't they cute? Don't you want to help some more families? How about we do 6 more next year, all right? We need to raise the funds for that today, and we need to rally volunteers. We need men with muscle, right? Not like this. We need real muscle. Like this guy right here. This guy right. Yeah, so bottom line is, if you can help us load, unload, the furniture, that's fantastic. That's usually something we struggle with. And outside on the patio, we have opportunity for you to give financially and to sign up to volunteer. And then Kim will call you when we have one coming up. We usually give you about 3 or 4 weeks notice. And let's do this together. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you all. Thanks for your help. And we'll see you out on the patio.